On the CFO Story, we sit down with CFOs to discuss what's relevant, learn how to navigate in today's markets as a CFO, and give them a platform to share their stories. We want to hear your CFO story. Welcome to today's episode of the CFO Story. I'm your host, Sammy Abood. With me today is Jason Lee.
What's going on, Sammy?
How are you, Jason? Good to see you today. And today we have a special guest joining us today, Stephen Childress with Axip Energy Services, CFO. Stephen, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you. Good to have you today. Stephen, let's kick this off with just a quick introduction, if you would. Just tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe kind of your story on how you got to your role as CFO with Axip.
Sure. So, Axip Energy Services is a natural gas compression service company. So we own and operate natural gas compression units. And, our business is primarily in the Permian Basin, but we've got, we've got operations all over the United States, up into the Bakken and down in South Texas and New Mexico, offshore Louisiana. My experience in the natural gas compression space is it's been pretty much since the beginning of my career, or it's spanned that. Out of school in went to UT, so hook 'em.
There we go. A little plug there.
Yeah. But actually went to work for the Air Force as a civilian in Colorado for about 3.5-4 years. I had met my wife at school, and so we were both native Texans and wanted to get back to Texas. So
there we go.
And ended up, looking not specifically in the energy space, but there was an opportunity with the natural gas compression company in Houston, which was CDM Resource Management. And we jumped on that opportunity, moved to Houston in 2006, and was there at CDM working in kind of finance and accounting roles. The company grew substantially, was acquired, kind of went through the integration with the acquisition. The acquired company was acquired and went through that, transition.
Yep.
And from that, there were a few, groups that left and kind of started their own compression companies. And I went with one of those, and that was Elite Compression Services. So, doing the same thing, natural gas contract compression, and did that until it was about 2017, and funny story, the Houston office for Elite decided to shut it down, and they were just going to move everybody down to Victoria, which is where the operations was based.
Okay.
And just an interesting kind of caveat. That's where I grew up. It was Victoria, Texas.
Okay. So that's right.
Great, yep. great place to be from, but wasn't looking to make the move with a young family back down there. So, kind of took a career pivot, and ended up working with a private equity group out of Dallas who had the group that founded that private equity group was they were at Regency Energy Partners who had initially bought CDM. So
okay.
Kind of came full circle there. One of the investments the private equity group Cresta had made was with a water midstream company.
Okay.
And it's Black Buck Resources, and was there for about 3.5-4 years, and great company, great growth trajectory, really good leadership team, and just a really great culture. And it was, I guess it was in October or November of last year, I got a call from a colleague that I'd known for years, and he's actually working in the insurance space now.
Uh-huh.
And he had had lunch with somebody, and they are at Energy Spectrum, which is the company that acquired Axip last year.
Okay.
So throughout lunch, the person at Energy Spectrum shared they were looking for a CFO for a compression company they just acquired, and he had thought of me, and would I be interested in entertaining it? And at the time, I wasn't looking to make a move, but you know, knowing, you know, the folks involved, I said, I'll have a conversation.
Yeah, sure.
it was just a really good, you know, organic thing that happened, you know, meeting the Energy Spectrum folks, meeting the ACCIP management team, looked like a really great opportunity. So jumped on it and, started in January, and it's been a whirlwind ever since.
Sure. Thank you for sharing, Stephen. I think, and you reminded me a few things I find so intriguing about your story is because mine is similar in a lot of ways. Although I'm currently not operating in a CFO capacity, certainly I've shared with you that has been in my past. I did serve as a CFO, also in natural gas compression. And also what led me to my CFO role was somebody who asked if I was interested and I wasn't looking. So it's pretty cool to meet somebody that has just some of the same kind of highlights in the story. So I appreciate you sharing that. Since January, it's been exciting since. It's been an exciting role for you. I'm sure you've got a lot on your plate, and that's, you know, a lot of things that we discuss in this show is, you know, some of the challenges, some of the successes, things that CFOs are excited to share about their story, and maybe they can, you know, gain from hearing from other CFOs. So a few of the things that you identified that you would have a good time discussing or that you would enjoy discussing with us, really cool. And so maybe we can explore those a little bit.
Sure.
One of them is you mentioned, freedom to fail. Also mitigating and managing risks and always be learning. Tell us a little bit about that. Why is that important to you? And what do you mean by that?
Yeah. So this is something that, I don't think it necessarily comes naturally to me in terms of, I think generally I'm a risk averse person, or I at least evaluate risk. And if there's a way to kind of avoid it, mm-hmm. that's sometimes kind of my initial reaction. And so I think, you know, in thinking about what I wanted to talk about, the idea of, you know, the freedom to fail is to say, you know, what does it mean to have an idea and something to chase after where you may be kind of overextending yourselves or getting out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. But in doing so, how do you do that in a kind of in a responsible way, and also in a way that puts you in the best, you know, possible situation to succeed. Mm-hmm. So that's really, it's something that I like I said, it doesn't come intuitively to me, but it's something that I've recognized, time and time again, that it's important to be able to do. And, you know, that's what I want to encourage, you know, folks that I work with. That's what I want to encourage my kids to do at home is to not be afraid to fail and to really challenge yourself and really, you know, go after, have a goal and be willing to see it through, knowing that if it's a big goal, there's a chance it might not happen, but you're going to do your best to do it. So
yeah, good word. I think naturally no one really wants to fail really at anything, I'm sure. But I can relate as well. I mean, what I found in the past in my career, whether it's a CFO or a different role, is I'm going to fail. And I think if we allow ourselves the freedom, as you're calling it, the freedom to fail, what an opportunity to learn maybe.
Right. Yes.
And then that's when we kind of sharpen ourselves. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like, as a CFO, kind of everyone's watching, like, does it add pressure to you or not necessarily? Do you feel like the CFO is a spotlight role, where that would come into play? In other words, you know, there's pressure because I'm CFO, everyone's watching, and Stephen, you better not fail. Or have you learned now that you said it didn't really come naturally, but how did you release that? Or was that ever an issue where, you know, you felt the pressure?
I think more than pressure, and it maybe comes with it, but it's just acknowledgement of the responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, knowing that the responsibility, or, you know, ultimately what, you know, I'm charged with being over and seeing to its fruition, it's more than I can do by myself.
Yeah.
And so that kind of goes into having a great team and really trusting your, you know, training your team and trusting your team to get the job done, because it's more than one person could do.
Sure.
And so, you know, to the extent that, you know, just if I'm, you know, at a board meeting or if I'm dealing with the banks, I can't be doing something else. Mm-hmm. And I just have to know that at that point in time, everything is handled. And also just kind of prioritizing.
Yeah, right? Sure. It all kind of works together, doesn't it? Trust the team, trust the process.
Right. So I think when I think of the responsibility of the CFO and having a clear understanding that failure is part of the job, and it's part of any job, and we talk about the spotlight that you're in, but there's also, I think, a higher level of integrity that has to kind of land on that CFO's role, because frankly, if there's anybody who can hide things or manipulate things, or because I've seen it, right? Mm-hmm. In scenarios where we've come in after the fact and worked with clients, and you know, through a discovery process, we find out that the, you know, numbers aren't accurate or things are moved around. And so if there's anybody who can actually make themselves look better or you know, hide risk or you know, move, play a shell game, right? Mm-hmm. So that they aren't at risk or jeopardized of being seen as a failure,
right?
It's the CFO. Yeah. Because half the time, they, you know, visionaries or the leaders, the people that are at the top, they don't want to be in the weeds. That's why they have you. Mm-hmm. And so they're kind of relying on that CFO to be transparent, right? To explain where the business is at. So, because you could show up at that board meeting, right? And you're the one who's responsible for the data that gets in and out of there and painting the picture and then distributing it, right? And getting that out there to tell the story. And let's be candid, you can adjust things to adjust the story.
Right.
And so if the company's failing or you're failing or some things are failing, you really have to have the fortitude and the integrity to kind of stand behind that, as I see it.
Right.
So it's great to hear a CFO acknowledge, and you know, for those of the CFOs that are listening, because you know, our desire to succeed and our desire to be seen as efficient or effective at our job, it's a big driver. It's a driver, mm-hmm. for humans. And mm-hmm. so, you know, I think those that are listening and those that are tuned in should really be cognizant of the idea that really, you know, that's a major sticking point for you. You know, like knowing that you can fail and being comfortable saying, hey, I'm going to fail.
Yeah.
But also doing it with integrity so that you're comfortable stepping into that failure,
right.
Is a big deal. Because yeah. if there's anybody that can, you know, bullshit this thing.
Yeah. Good work.
It's you.
Right. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's I kind of viewed that the way you're describing it, Jason. It kind of takes me back. It's kind of like a calling almost. You just have to be willing to accept that, right? And always stand for integrity, I mm-hmm. think. So, which I think is maybe a good segue into the next one, Stephen. Talk to us about something else that I think is important to you is empathetic leadership.
Right.
So, what's your experience, or what are your thoughts around that? What do you mean by? Be specific if you have some stories or some ideas to share with us.
You know, I think for a lot of us and being kind of in the financial world, the idea, you know, the idea of a business is to make money, and the idea okay. of, you know, the business's biggest priority is to create value for its shareholders, and you know, we all know that, but ultimately, you know, I view, or I like to probably say stakeholders better, because to me, you know, a business is only going to be as successful as the employees make it. And mm-hmm. and so it's really a, you know, you're always in the people business. Mm-hmm. And understanding, I think that, you know, people, they come to work every day with any and every burden that, you know, you may or may not be aware of, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, a health issue or a family issue or a personal issue, or maybe, you know, it's simple as somebody cut them off on the way to work. And but you know, to really kind of come in with the idea that, you know, if if you approach things with a human element, I mm-hmm. think you get a lot more buy-in, and you also just get people to understand, you know, this if you are able to set a strategy and a goal in a way that's, look, this is how, you know, we're going to get there. And also, to an extent where you can be collaborative and say, what, sure. you know, what do you think, how do you fit into this, mm. this puzzle? And where do you best provide, you know, the resources to help us achieve this goal?
So then they're a part of the process, right?
Right.
The decision or the undertaking, whatever it is, mm-hmm. right?
Because yeah, I think it comes down to then, you know, they take ownership and they take accountability. And then I think that accountability carries up, kind of going back to the fact that, you know, ultimately, you know, as a CFO, responsibility to provide, you know, a true and accurate representation of mm-hmm. the financial performance of the business. You know, you can kind of say that in good faith.
Sure. No, that's good.
So you use the term leadership, and I'm interested because you were sharing a little bit about your background, and I know it's been diverse, right? So you haven't always been a CFO. Right?
Correct.
So with it being that case, I mean, what about your leadership experience? Is this your first stab at being in charge of people? Has that been a part of your history?
So this is certainly the biggest, you know, task of leadership that I've had,
right?
And certainly a first CFO role, but traditionally have been, you know, at one point, you know, had probably four or five folks underneath me when you know, all the way back at CDM when right before we got acquired, and so had some experience there, but this has been interesting because right. it is leadership is challenging. It's right. it, and it's not necessarily just innate.
So how have you formed your leadership style?
I mean, a lot of it is just kind of going through and trying to, you know, prioritize what's important, communicate, you know, as clearly as I can, and really try to empower people to do, you know, to do their best. We've got a you know, relatively small team that's asked to do a lot. And so, you know, it's constantly they're and it's a great team and they're, you know, great at being proactive and mm-hmm. doing what needs to be done. But it's really, you know, checking in, making sure that they have the tools that they need to be successful, kind of having, you know, weekly touch points where we can go through and talk about any, you know, challenges that are going on, any initiatives, anything that I need to be aware of, kind of having that, you know, trying to have that open door policy where if there's something going on, that, you know, I'm just distracted with something else, that, you know, people feel that they can come to me and we can talk about it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the good thing too is knowing, that I've got the support from the rest of the leadership at ACSIP and even up to the private equity group in terms of from a resource standpoint, if there's something lacking, that, you know, we can figure out a solution there.
Well, I'd say it's leadership's caught, not taught, right? So, and with having your experience and you were kind of dating back to even when you were running smaller teams, and even from the beginning, do you have anybody or anything in particular that you feel like groomed you or positioned you to, because you know, you picked the topics, right? And so mm-hmm. and I like to think that makes it a passion point, right? Because because mm-hmm. we invite the CFO to come on and say, what do you want to talk about? And so mm-hmm. you wanted to talk about empathetic leadership. So something internally means it matters to you. So where did this trigger go off in your brain? And like, okay, this is the kind of leader that I'm going to be.
Well, I think part of it is, you know, I've seen both.
Okay.
I've seen empathetic leadership and unempathetic leadership. Yep. And just realizing that there is a choice in the way that you lead. Hmm. That's something that always resonated to me, even if I wasn't necessarily in a direct leadership role, to recognize if I'm ever there, this is what I want to do, or this is what I don't want to do. that I would say has been more kind of why I think it resonates so much. And then kind of coming back to the fact that, you know, still relatively new in the process of leading, you know, a bigger team and having a bigger responsibility, just something that, you know I've got to challenge myself to do, you know, every day and really be, you know, understanding where the priorities are in the mm-hmm. business, what needs to be focused on, but also having the, you know, humility to understand that, you know, I may not always have my finger on the pulse as best as I can. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that, yeah, you know, folks on my team have lives and they have things that are going on that there, again, I may not be in tune with, but I need to be aware or let me know if they need to.
Yeah. So. I love the answer. There's on the surface, it seems practical what you said, meaning, you know, it's a choice. Your leadership style is a choice, but to me, the fact that you've seen both sides, you know, as I have, I'm sure Jason, you've seen both sides of the leadership coin as well, mm-hmm. empathetic and non. I think some of us, and probably myself included at some point, even though they see that and they know which one they prefer, sometimes, I don't know if it's just a gravitation to, you know, well, I get empathy, but this is a business, you know, we're in it to make money mm-hmm. and I don't want to be stepped on by my team or, you know, fill in the blank. So there's a balancing act, I'm sure.
Yes.
But I think if your team knows where you're coming from and they know your heart and they know, of course, you have the company's best interest, but beyond just having the company's best interest, let's do this the right way together and work together. Then I think it really starts to click. Right.
Right.
I think as we start to shift gears, one thing that I think is interesting, you're in a unique spot because we've had a couple of CFOs on the show and they were tenured, right? They'd big mm-hmm. been in the role. I think you're our first rookie,
yes.
right? and that's exciting because I think you bring a fresh perspective, right? And mm-hmm. so we normally ask the question for those, like when it comes to wisdom, like what kind of things would they share? But, you know, you're kind of, you know, you haven't been around forever, but,
right.
but I think it's a great perspective to gain for our audience, right? Which is, you know, because you've been at it since January, mm-hmm. right? So you're 7 months in, right? You've just probably been drinking through a fire hose yeah. and all kinds of stuff. So there's somebody listening, I'm sure, who's maybe either about to step into this place, mm-hmm. Whether they're as a controller. Or maybe they're out even outside of the role, but maybe they're listening and it's because they're trying to wear multiple hats. I was in an organization yesterday where the person's the business owner / CFO and they're debating hiring one and I told them they should. she should have been doing it. But
yeah.
The reality is, you know, so what, like if you had some wisdom, right, being that you're right out the gates mm-hmm. And you're seeing success. So what would you attribute that to for somebody that's listening? If you're a new CFO and you're stepping into it and this is day one, right? And what are some things that you would say have been critical to this first 7 months for you?
I really kind of come back to having a great team. Mm-hmm. And that means, you know, the folks that are within the finance organization, but also, you know, the leadership team that you're working with on a daily basis and then, you know, with the kind of the you know, ownership group, your board, however that comes through. But that was one of the things that really intrigued me about the opportunity with ACCIP was I didn't have a history with, you know, the folks. I didn't really know anybody, but, you know, I could just tell, you know, we're going to work well together. We're going to complement each other. And so I think that's been great is that, you know, I haven't necessarily, you know, sometimes you kind of feel you got to come in and you're the new guy, so you got to put on airs and, you mm-hmm. know, really kind of puff yourself up or, you know, try to be somebody that you're not.
And yeah.
I'm not good at doing that. I prefer to just
be,
I am who I am and this is what it's going to be. But, you know, developing, you know, trust, And you know, I think mutual respect is important. And that's hard to do in a short amount of time. And I think, you know, folks have to see you know, that are on your team that you're willing to, you know, roll your sleeves up and get dirty with them, right?
Sure.
To do the work and get things done. And then, you know, I always, you know, try and say, to the extent that you can, it's like, yeah, let's have fun doing it. You know, I always joke, it's like, you know, especially on the accounting side, it's like, nobody says accounting's fun, but, I had a colleague that I work with, and he would always coin his team, his controller, and he would call it fun accounting, just as a, you know, a nod to the fact that, you know, it is what you make it, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, fun accounting.
Yeah.
You got to put that word on there.
Yeah.
Something you said earlier, Steve, that really stuck with me, and I promise I've been listening to you, but it's coming back around in my head, and that is, you're always in the people business, right? In this role, mm-hmm. certainly. So it doesn't really matter what industry that you are a CFO in, right? You can be in natural gas compression. You could be in construction. You could be in landscaping. You can be in the financial services industry. You're always in the people business, right? So I think it's just a great tie-in that trust is important too, right, for your team.
For sure.
Because you can go, you're never going to escape, so to speak, not that you want to, but you're never going to escape the reality of working alongside people. And let's face it, certainly in the role of CFO, I know you've been down it for 7 months, but I'm sure it probably feels like 14 for you.
Yeah.
We spend most of our waking hours working alongside people.
Mm-hmm.
And so why not, like, really enjoy it?
Right. For sure.
So,
as we kind of gear up to put a bow on this thing, you know, so first of all, great discussion. I think it's great to hear from a guy who's in the trenches, but really kind of kicking things off. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the two things that really stood out to me as we try to kind of wrap this up, I think are relevant to where you're at. And I think, meaning where you're at in your journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's probably foundationally or fundamentally things that everybody should be paying attention to. And why I say that is because even if they're listening to this and they've been around for a while, sometimes it's easy to forget, because maybe you start thinking that your job is to meet the shareholders or the board members or to, you know, that's not your job, right? Your job is to be a people driven, right? Your job is to care about the people that you work for. Your job is to be empathetic in how you approach them and do those things. So really tying it back to that empathetic thought process of that we, no matter what role you serve, we're in it's a people business. I mean, right. And so the people are what powers whatever you're doing, whether you're the CEO or the CFO or the COO, people are involved in that. And then, what I really heard was the failure component, because, you know, you probably, if everybody's failed their way to success, but at some point in time, but it's funny because it's novel in the entrepreneur space, right? Like, you know, there's always memes and stuff like you fail, and, you know, like,
yeah,
everybody's got a meme about that.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it in corporate America, it's not as kosher, right?
Right.
Like in entrepreneurship, it's like, yeah, you know, you're like, you're the man if you fail at all these, you know, everybody talks about your failures, but yeah, in corporate America,
sure,
like the board doesn't care about your failures,
right?
Right? Like that, you know, they don't give a crap about your failures. And so there's a different level of pressure around failure. And so your transparency in that, I think, serves as a great mm-hmm. reminder,
yeah,
right, for those that are listening to this call, that if you've been doing it for 10 years, guess what? It's okay to let your team know you fell.
Right? Yeah, right.
And so I really do appreciate the transparency that you kind of brought in this discussion.
Yeah,
yeah.
Very refreshing.
Yeah, yep. Awesome stuff. So is there anything that you'd like to make sure we capture before we wrap up?
I mean, honestly, really just to thank you guys for the opportunity to come on. I think it really, Sammy, when we first met and talked about this, what you're trying to do,
yeah,
with this podcast and with kind of, you know, getting the message and stories of CFOs out there really resonated with me. And also, you know, kind of selfishly from a first time CFO,
like, sure,
hey, this is a great opportunity for me to learn from others who've been in my shoes and done that.
Yeah.
So that is a...
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
So let's make sure we highlight that, right? So for those that are listening, guys, this is kind of the spear tip, mm-hmm. right, of what we're trying to do. So it's not just a podcast, but the CFO story is an extension of what we're doing. Now, again, I don't know how big our reach will get, but I do know that our reach is designed around the Houston metro area, because I think you can really, I mean, you have an entire economic machine over here. So we could build it, and we don't ever need to leave Houston. So that being said, the goal here, right, is to create a platform for people like yourself to meet other CFOs, to connect. We do have a page through LinkedIn where everybody can get kind of plugged in. And our goal is to create a forum and environment where open dialogue and those things, kind of start. Now, we believe that the podcast itself is a great way for us to get FaceTime. And then by building the relationship, plug you in and center you into other CFOs. So we can start kind of building off of that. So stay tuned as we continue to try to grow that thought process. Cause I think that's a great talk. And you said, hey, I want to try to see where I can go and mm-hmm. learn and figure out who to meet. And so that, again, great call out, because that's really what this is
for about. Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Steven, thanks for joining us today. This is the CFO story.
All right. My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. Appreciate it.